How was your weekend?
It was good. You know, it's interesting because we have a really, really busy couple of months ahead of us. And I feel that, like, especially coming off of last year where it was a busy end of the year. Joining and we hired another virtual assistant and Pedro coming down to the team and Ashley joined and we had a bunch of people partner with us. So it was a busy end of the year and I just know what's coming and I know what the spring market is like normally for us. And so even though it was a great weekend, I spent most of it like building garden beds and like we had a fire pit with Belle and, you know, so it was pretty relaxing, you know, most of the weekend, but there's still that little bit of anxiety about what's coming.
Yeah.
And especially because I'm so enjoying a lot of what we're doing that isn't involved in real estate. So I just know that, you know, helping our clients is going to take away from the time that we're doing some of this stuff.
From the time that we're doing this stuff and just home and having a routine.
Yep.
And a schedule.
But I like not working weekends.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, that's the goal.
It is the goal. What about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was busy. So last week we talked about burnout and we talked about just like personalities and finding your zero. And I just thought about it more and more. And I'm realizing that my personality, my makeup, my coding needs, if you were to talk in binary code, a 1-0. If I have a 1 day, which is working or even something fun like skiing or being with family, that's still a 1 day where there was something required of me. If I have 3 in a row, 4 in a row, a 1-1-1, I need a 0 day. And my husband does not. He actually gets more energized the more ones he has. The more people he's around, the stuff he has to look forward to. If he has something to get up and do that day, it energizes him where it takes something away from me. And there's nothing wrong with him being that way or me being this way. It's just we married each other and we have kids together. So we've got to figure it out. And what I used to have, and we're going to talk a lot about this today, but I used to stay at home. So when the girls went to school or to preschool and he went to work, I would have my zero time on Monday between 9 and 3 or 10 and 1. And then I would have it again on Wednesday. So I knew I had those times where I could fill back up my tank. And nobody, I would lock the house doors. Nobody could reach me. And I don't have that anymore because now I'm working. And I filled that time with something I'm excited about, but now I don't have my zero. So in order for me to get those zero times and that time where nobody needs anything from me and I feel back up, sometimes I have to miss stuff with the girls and Paul, where he takes them to the birthday or they go skiing without me. And I don't, right now I'm not saying no because I don't know how and it doesn't feel good. But if I make everything, then I am angry at everyone. But if I just miss one thing, if I make 7 things and I miss one and I have a zero time, I'm better.
Here's the way that I think you have to think about it because in going to these things, it's selfish.
Because I don't want to miss out.
Because you don't want to miss out, but you bring that energy to the event.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I'm not having any fun.
You're not having any fun.
I'm supposed to.
And
all I can think of is why am I here?
And if Paul and the kids are noticing it, then they're playing defense against like trying to make you have a good time. And it just takes away from what they're doing. And the reason that I can say this is because Colleen has the same problem, right? Where she really like, because she goes and she drops off and she picks up and then she's there for library and she does a lot of the shit, right? And then I don't do any stuff at the house. So, well, I do, but like I'll take her. I started doing this over Christmas break where I was like, I don't want you to come. Like, I know you want to come like to the fireworks on New Year's Eve
at
Patriot Place. I said, but you don't want to go. You don't enjoy that. And you're going because you want the experience, but the experience that you're going to get in the mind space that you are isn't the experience that you get.
Then it can't also be the other where everybody has to stay home because mommy can't handle one more thing. And so everyone sits at home with me. And then that's not fun either.
Well, we do that at the end of the night too. Colleen will be at the end of her rope and I'm not. And like we sit down for a family show at the end of the night, right? Just everybody kind of curls up on the couch and we all just kind of like, and it's an unwind period. And most of the time, like when Colleen's had a day or that she's been at, the kid's been at her and she's been at the kids and all that kind of shit, I get home. I'm like, just go upstairs. And Like, she has this thing where she wants to be a part of it. And she also feels like she doesn't want to put that sole parenting on me. But at the same point, if you're not in a good mindset, solo parenting is way easier than parenting with a spouse who is like anxious and
not in a good place to be there. Their tank is empty. And I, like I said, I added in a new element to our routine and our life and our balance of me going back to work, even just part time, but it still created this like ripple.
Yeah.
And so I'm not getting my zero time by myself anymore. So I'm having to, we're having to figure that out. And we're not there yet. We're rocky. Yeah.
Well, how's Paul dealing with it?
We like had a big discussion about it and he was like, I just like to do fun things. I'm like, I do too, but I'm not. So he.
But this is what, see, for you, work is one of those fun things. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you wouldn't be doing it, mm-hmm. correct? Like mm-hmm. if you hated all of this.
No, then I'm excited.
Right.
And I don't want it to be like, oh, that just isn't going to work. Like you can't go and spend, it's not even like tons of time. It's just new to us and a new balance. And I've got to figure out how to get my zeros without affecting everybody else. So we had a great weekend. I'm exhausted from it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward. We got home on Sunday from staying at his parents and we unpacked the car and then immediately started packing and planning and doing laundry because we're leaving on Wednesday to go skiing for the weekend.
Where's his parents?
Mashpee on the Cape.
Okay.
We hadn't seen them in a while, so we did like a family night. It was his mom's birthday. It's all great, but it's all good things. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to, we're going to J Peak this weekend. We're going to skate and I'm like, can't wait for the next weekend when we don't have anything.
Yeah. We probably err on the side of like doing way less things than more things. So like the next 3 or 4 weekends, we have like nothing.
We are not. We are doing it all because we used to be able to do it all because I got my time during the week and I could catch my breath. Right now I can't breathe, but we're going to figure it out. Yeah. And we talk about it. We're just not there yet. So I had a great weekend, but I'm exhausted. But it's something we talk about almost every day is like, okay, we just got to get through this day and then we're going to figure out how to make
it work for both of us. It's really important to find that sort of balance. And what I think is true is that if you're taking this right now as an opportunity for you to grow and something that you're really excited about, you know, that's taking time and you have to realize where are the things that you're giving up? Because if you're adding 25 hours of...
Exactly. We all like, get 24 hours in the day. Nobody gets more.
Like, what are you giving up?
Yeah.
And if it's always your zero time, right?
Then it is.
Then it's going to materially affect how you are as a person.
Yes. And so we are not there yet. I'm going through some growing pains. Mm-hmm. If you like, that's the best way to describe it. And we're going through it as a family because the girls are being more involved. They went to a new school. They're now on teams of things. They're not little anymore, where it doesn't matter if they go to school. It doesn't matter if they do homework. It kind of does now matter. So we're just in this new phase for the next 10 years even. And we are just in the beginning of it. So we're just figuring it all out. But it's all good. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to balance it, but.
Well, I think you also, you learn a lot about yourself too, right? Because you're gonna figure out sort of like where your threshold is and ultimately how much zero time do you actually need? Because you might have gotten more than you needed before
and
you're getting less of it.
And then I went looking for something.
Yeah. The reason that you had a desire to get back into doing stuff was because you had too much zero time.
Yes. I couldn't unload a dishwasher one more time.
Right. And then you go and you go.
Organize a drawer.
Right. And so you have to also figure out what sort of things that you're doing right now that doesn't light you up as much. So if you really need your zero time, then you might have to give up things like, you know, cleaning or like grocery shopping, or like there are things that you can do if you're making money at the stuff that you want to be doing, mm-hmm. then you have to potentially look at
replacing. And get really good at my zero time, be efficient at it. Like, don't say, okay, this is going to be my time to recharge and then spend it working. I know I'm being really intense. I got to be intense.
I'm going to be intense about my zero
time.
I'm going to do it the exact way that I is the most efficient zero time ever spent.
Don't have any fun recharging. But like, don't work on my computer. Don't scroll stuff for work if this is my time to recharge.
Right.
So I've got a lot of growth to do. So y'all will be on me like my journey with me.
Well, I think that that'll be stuff that I'll pay attention to too, because like this job also, like, it takes work, it takes a lot of intention, but also there's no value in it if you burn out. And this was never the expectation that you would work like you're working right now, but I also understand that it's new and that we're getting it off the ground and all that.
I'm excited.
Stuff,
like, I do want to, so we're here. The whole point of this episode is like, meet Lauren and how did I end up in this seat across the table from you, mm-hmm. with a microphone and like on your social media. It all started back in Texas in 1986, mm-hmm. in July. Actually, I'm a Cancer, which I think is, it plays into all the parts. I'm super emotional and I absorb a lot, and all my space matters to me. I was born in Texas, grew up in Georgia, went to school in Alabama. I went to Auburn, and somehow I am now living in Massachusetts.
Paul had a good sales pitch, didn't he?
He saw I was ripe for the picking, yeah. and he picked me. I grew up. So I have my master's in accounting.
What year did you move up here?
It was 15 years ago. So it was 2009 or 2010.
And you met him while you were at Auburn or after? It was after.
Right after Auburn. I was finishing. No, I met him, obviously, my first week of work. So.
Right. Orientation.
Yeah. I was a first year at a big four firm at Deloitte, and he was the trainee. Like, he was doing the training, the first year training from the Boston office. He had come down to the Atlanta office, and I met him my first week of work, and we dated long distance. And then I was 23 and I was like, sure, I'll move to Boston. Yeah. Why not?
World
move to
is
a
my
fun
oyster,
city.
Right?
Yeah. 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 I'm up for an adventure. And I mean, if you really want to, like, there's a deeper level too. Like, to take it back, so I grew up, my dad and my mom, like, did everything wrong, and because of that, they didn't want it for me. They didn't have college degrees. My mom didn't work. She got married at 19. He was really young, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to do accounting, and my dad was like, accounting's great because it just opens a lot of doors for you, so that's how I became an accountant. That's how I met Paul, and it was great. I got my master's, but my dad passed away suddenly in 2008 and in 2009. And then I met Paul like 3 months later.
Really?
Yes. So I was like ready to get out of town and go up north and heal. And I didn't know that was what was happening to me, but it was. So
easy to see in hindsight.
Yeah. I was like clearly like wanting change and probably running from stuff. Like, Paul and I should have never worked out. He lived in Boston. I lived in Atlanta. He's 8 years older than me, but we figured it out. Now I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking moving up here, especially when I have my two little girls? Like, I'm a plane ride away from my mom. Mm-hmm. She's not even an hour away.
Yeah.
She's so far away. And so, but I wasn't thinking that when I was 23. I was just, this is exciting. This is fun. And this is a distraction. But now we're here.
Yeah.
And I own a house and I have two little girls and I got chickens and mm-hmm. but I've been happy here. I think like you could place me almost anywhere and I will start to settle and make a home.
Right.
I will find my little cozy spot. I'll see where the sun comes in. I'll figure out a way to be outside.
Do you have the impression that like once you get settled, you'll be able to relax?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I cannot sit. Mm. In if there's like laundry or the dishes are in the sink, mm-hmm. I need to clean it all and then I can take a breath.
Yeah.
And then I can sit. But yeah, I'm a big, like, that's part of like my, I always say like I'm a homemaker, mm-hmm. and that's part of like being a Cancer. We love creating like our home and our family are, it's everything in our environment. So I worked for a while, Paul and I got married, and then I had my first daughter, and I always knew I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yep.
So I left accounting behind.
Now, did you know that going into like having, when you were pregnant, did you know you weren't going to go back to work?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I, like, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My grandmother was a stay-at-home mom. I just always knew I wanted that for myself.
Yep.
And to experience it. So that was never hard for me.
Well, but that's much more prevalent down in the South than it is up here in New England. Did you find it hard when you did leave? Like, the lack of a community, especially without your mom around and all that kind of stuff. Was it difficult when you made that transition from working to just staying home with the girls?
It's isolating, especially not having your mom, not having like your little like support system, mm-hmm. and you have to figure that out. But I also think I grew a lot in being really independent.
Yeah.
And I think it's paid off in, like, I can see where my independence is paying off now, where I'll figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Without anybody's help. And I cried. I mean, you cry a lot when you're figuring it out. But I learned you have to hang in there and, like, keep going. So staying at home, like, being a stay-at-home mom, it was, I can see myself having the same emotions right now as I did 10 years ago when I started that phase. You feel
overwhelmed?
Overwhelm, insecurity, and feeling super emotional. Just like you're not sure of anything, and it's all new, and it's all the first time you've ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
But because I did that with my daughters, kind of on my own, my choice, like I moved. It's not that my mom wasn't around. I moved.
Right.
And I had like my in-laws, and I did have friends, but I think that made me kind of like grow a lot. So while I was staying at home with her, I was gifted by my mom an old camera, and I started taking pictures of Roswell, my first daughter, and putting it on a blog just to be able to keep up with my friends and family back down south. And that is when I realized, oh, I have a creative side.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
That's really the first time that you recognize that, because that's all I see with you.
I mean, I was an accountant. I was like,
what were your, like, so were you into sports? Were you into like, did you do anything besides like school? What were your activities?
In fact, do you want to know something? One time my high school boyfriend asked me like, what are you good at? Mm. And like, what's your thing? And I remember being like, I don't know. And I didn't know at 20, at 21. I was an accountant. It didn't feel great, but I knew I could like, I was smart enough to be one.
But like, what did you do in high school? Did you like?
I did cheer and track because I wanted to be like skinny.
Yeah.
Like it was.
But cheer is also an expressive like
it was
endeavor,
fun.
Right?
Yeah. Like that's... It was fun. It was competitive cheer, but I didn't know what made me feel alive.
So you didn't do music or art or like.
No.
None of that stuff.
No. Creating like photos. No, none of it.
Did you ever even consider it, or was it just it never came up, never even thought about it?
Never. I was a type A social person. So I just, and my dad was like, accounting opens a lot of doors for you. And I was like, okay, I'll be an accountant and I'll make money and be a stay-at-home mom. So never knew I was creative. Never. Mm-hmm. And this is like the whole journey where then I went through feelings of creating this blog, and then Instagram became popular. And while I was staying at home with my daughters, and I realized I had a knack for creating something visually to be appealing online.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all new. Yeah. I didn't know I was good at it, but I knew I got excited. I could see what I wanted to post, and I was good at making it happen.
Yeah.
So well, that was
where
journey.
That's where the accounting execution helps with the creative. So there's like a little bit of a balance. So some creative people like have a hard time executing.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who are very analytical in nature, like the accountant, they have a very hard time being creative.
Yes.
So
I do have that foundation in business where I can have an educated, I know I can figure out the business side. I can have an educated somewhat discussion on things and how numbers work. They don't intimidate me. That finance side doesn't intimidate me, but then I do have this creative side. So it's worked to my advantage so far. And then so I was doing stuff on Instagram, and then I was taking pictures of my daughter, and then people started asking me to take pictures of their kids. They're mm-hmm. like, "Oh, I really like your photos. Do you mind taking our photos?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I have no idea what I'm doing."
Yeah.
At all. I like would just with photos, like if you're a photographer, if you have any experience in like editing, all I would do is adjust the exposure and contrast. For the first couple of years that I was taking photos, I had no idea what Lightroom was, what Photoshop was. And so then I went on that journey, and then I had my second daughter. I was doing family photography on the side.
Like, so how much? Like, what does that mean? You were doing family photography, but like how many, like?
Like 2 shoots a month.
Yeah.
But that was all I could handle. And I would cry all the time. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like I was a new stay-at-home mom. I knew what they took of me. And then I knew what the photos needed to be and what that required of me. And then I would stay up late on my computer and then be tired the next day. And I felt like I was doing nothing good. Yeah. I was doing it all, but everything was not the way I wanted it to be and as good as I knew it could be. And that's something I struggle with.
Well, you put a tremendous amount of pressure on yourself.
Yeah. It's personality. Like, it's my makeup. I am like a perfectionist. I'm a type, I think it's a type 1 in the Enneagram. Like, I do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I love exploring people. Like, I'm a firstborn Cancer type, like, number 1 Enneagram. I forget there's another score you can get.
Have you done that? It's like a human code or something like that. Colleen got into it maybe 6 months ago. I forget what it's called. I got to bring it up.
Is it like ECMD?
No, it's like you go on and it has to do with like the exact time of your birth and when you were, like, where you were born.
Yes.
Exactly what time you were born. And the little icon on the phone is like a guy, like one of those.
I have done that.
Circle things.
Yeah.
It was amazing how accurate that was.
It's wild. Like, it's actually kind of scary.
I think that's the higher power's algorithm.
Yeah.
Right? There has to be some sort of algorithm to put us all together.
So with me, I'll start checking like what's going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. And I start to get scared. I'm like, well, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Because I believe it's all so true. All that stuff and your birth chart and your when you were born, where you were born, your order of birth. Then also life experiences, of course, will change you and throw like a wrench in everything. Like my dad passing, that was a life experience that changed the way I mother and the way I'm a partner. So all that stuff matters. And I find it so intriguing and informative. But I don't know what I was talking about. So
you were talking about photos and you started.
Oh, my perfectionism.
Perfectionism. And then
feeling like I wasn't doing it all well. And if you can't tell, I'm like in that state right now. Mm-hmm. But what happened back in 2017
How old were the girls at that point?
They were 4 and 1.
Yeah.
And I was a fully stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And Paul went to Boston every day.
That's an insane sort of request to ask.
And I didn't have my mom.
Yeah. See, and I know because for those of you who don't know, but my wife stays home with my girls too. And, you know, I was very fortunate that I did have some flexibility in going into the office versus staying home. I would typically work from home. But I also worked nights and weekends, and all of a sudden, even when I was home, I wasn't really home because I was working.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting dynamic to put something on your plate with kids that are 4 and 1. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, and it fell into my lap.
Yeah.
So I was just blogging for fun. And then all of a sudden, I was a family photographer. Well,
yeah, because you have a hard time saying no.
I have a hard time saying no, and I was good at it. I wanted to explore it, and yeah. So then as we talked about last week, I burnt out, and I said, I'm done. I am breaking. I'm burning out. And I shut my computer and put away my camera, and I didn't do it. Open it back up for 6 years.
Yeah.
And it was great but I always felt like, what if I had just stuck it out? What if I had just like figured it out? Would I be a blogger now? Would I be an influencer? And I'm definitely in the realm of where you are, where it wasn't meant for me. And I probably was being protected from something, and you have to let those things go.
Well, yeah, it's at the sacrifice so that all of that might be true, right? Like, you might have influence, you might have a big following, you might have done something.
I might have made it. Yeah.
But at what cost?
Yes. And so I'm so glad it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I got those years at home with the girls, and I still did photography and put stuff on my Instagram and was creative, but it was just for me.
Yeah. Well, because I think that people assume so much. I heard Cody Sanchez had something on her Instagram the other day. And if you don't follow Cody, she's amazing. She had said something like, maybe it was Mel Robbins. Might have been Mel Robbins. One of the
two. She's got a new book.
She's got a new book. Yeah.
Let them.
I forget what it's called, but
no, let them.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes.
I thought you were like searching for the
no.
rest of it.
No.
Let them.
Yeah. Let them is what it's called.
So she said something like, I'm sick of like all these like 30 under 30 and 40 under 40 and 20 under 20. She goes, I want to see the list of like the top 20 over 60, like who did something.
Who lasted.
Well, not even who lasted, but you look at all these people, you know, I think that there's just such a tremendous amount of pressure that's put on, you know, 20-year-olds and early 30-year-olds to make it at that point in their life. And there is a whole nother season after kids, right?
Yeah.
Like you have this time before kids and then you have, and with us being in it, we've had two, right? Before and after kids. That's pretty much like there are different lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think the next major one is going to be like time after kids, right? So you get time before kids, time with kids, time after kids. And like there's so much of that time.
And I had no idea. At 20, I had no idea I was creative even.
Yeah.
I didn't learn that until I was 29.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had no time in my 30s. I'm 38 now and I've finally picked it back up, but I'm headed into my 40s.
Yeah.
And there is that like, oh my gosh, I'm behind, but you just have to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And you see so many people that don't figure out.
Behind what?
What you were talking about. This just behind. Like,
but if you can't even define like behind what though. And
like behind the curve, behind the.
Whose curve?
Culture. I don't know. I don't even know, but the feeling is there. Where's that from?
That's from probably arguably a massive fear of failure.
Or, you know how like I can't sit on the couch until everything's done?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm like, I want to relax in my 50s, so I have to figure it all out before then so I can actually just vacation.
You don't want to relax in your 50s. Here's the other
thing.
But
I've created that in my mind.
You don't actually want to relax in general. Here's one of the things that I have just come to understand. Like I do 60 to 70% of the dishes in our house and I do 90% of the laundry.
Wow.
But it's not.
Paul's picked it back up since I have started working. I will say that.
But
he's doing a lot of laundry.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like I was talking to Jack, who's my wife's much younger brother, who's living with us right now. I was talking to him the other day and I was like, I don't like, I work all the time to then sit on the couch and then I sit on the couch and I don't want to be there. Like I'm anxious and I'm not like,
I'm totally caught in that.
Like there are certain environments where you can put me, like if you put me out at a fire, like I might sit for like 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But even like when we have a fire pit, I'm like walking around picking up sticks and throwing stuff and fucking with the fire. I'm doing all the rest of the stuff. Cause I can't sit still. I'll go in and out to the house. I'll pick everything up. But I don't like, I had this perception that like, if I had the time to relax, then I would relax. And I'm not good at relaxing. Colleen can sit on the couch and be unburdened by things like going out, like the dishes in the sink and the laundry on the floor.
Yeah.
I am not. I need.
Same.
And that's okay. Like I actually, because I think that there is a purpose for everyone's personality.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I got there. I got my girls both went to school and I got all this free time I was like dying to have. And guess what I did? I found a way to fill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, can Paul, I'm curious, can Paul sit down and relax?
No. We're in an intent house.
Yeah.
Nobody sits.
Yeah.
And if you do, it's like, is everything okay?
I feel like God blessed Roswell.
Yeah. With Roswell. She's such a sweetheart. She's our little golden retriever puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. James Kate is more like Paul and I. We're like,
what's going on? I feel like Roswell's like, hey, guys, relax.
Yeah, let's enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
And we're like, what? So, I'm so grateful for her. She's such a blessing. If you know Roswell, if you're listening to this and you know Roswell, you know. But so I found a way to fill James Kate, so I shut everything down, was just a stay at home mom, and then James Kate went to kindergarten.
Yep.
I did give myself 1 year I went to tennis. I picked that up. I like kind of played around with the idea of like, what am I going to do now? I realized like I didn't want to pick back up family photography because you work during nights and weekends. Usually you photograph families and people during nights and weekends. And that's when my family still needs me. And also the other element of family photography is photographing people is a huge emotional exchange, massive. They've got a lot of energy and you're absorbing that and you are giving them, the person in front of the camera, a ton of your energy too. Kids, moms, dads, you're building people up. You are taking the photo, but you are creating the like energy they need that sure. they in front of the camera. And then they are giving you a lot, like crying, stress. Dad doesn't want to be there. So it's a huge emotional exchange. And because I am who I am, everything would be taken out of me. And then I'd go home to my kids and be like, oh my God,
empty.
I can't look, like, don't talk to me. So I knew that that wasn't my lane. Mm-hmm. A lot of people love that emotional exchange and get amped up from it.
Mm-hmm.
I was not that person. So I was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to do something between the bus hours. They're called bus hours, between 9 and 3.
Yep.
But I was just like giving myself a second to kind of breathe, believe it or not. And then a friend, actually the owner of the boutique down the street, Only Prettier, she redid her kitchen. And she was like, I really like your photos of your home. I want you to photograph my house. And I was like, yeah. Sure. But I never like followed up.
I think I remember that photo session that you posted online.
Yeah. I didn't follow up with it. And
because you eventually did it, right?
Yeah. She kept bugging me.
Yeah.
I was like, fine. Like, sure. May 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I did it and I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. So I did that photo shoot for her and I was like, that was amazing.
Is that 2022?
2023. May 2nd, 2023.
Oh yeah, we're in 2025.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I did that and I was like, that was great. And then, so I knew that all
because
of a sudden,
you removed the emotional
yes.
sort of turmoil,
yes.
right? And you also fed right into your... Like, you could tweak things and make it look perfect, and that satisfied your, like...
It was slow.
Yep.
You know, family photography is so fast, and I'm already, like, an intense person, so to enter into that was just, like, you know... So it was calm, and I loved everything about it. And I had no idea that... And I was like, this is it. This is my lane, shooting interiors. Then the wheels started churning through the summer... You know, I went through the summer and I was like, I really liked that. And then I realized, oh, guess what else is photographed during the day? Homes, real estate photography.
Yep.
And so in August of 2023, all of a sudden, it's like something's like switched in me and I couldn't stop going towards it. Mm-hmm. I was reaching out to people. I was YouTubing. I would be on the couch and we'd be sitting during my zero time and I'd be like looking up. What kind of lens do I need for interior? You know, what equipment do I need to do real estate photography? How do I file an LLC? Watching all kinds of stuff. And I couldn't stop. I would just felt that pull.
Now, was there any crying during that time?
Oh my gosh, so much crying. I mean, I cried so much last year. Everybody should know that. Like everybody, like if you look like you are just like on it and you have figured out your thing, there's so much crying going on.
Yeah.
Because everything I was doing was for the first time ever. Again, it was just like being a new mom. It's so uncomfortable. And everything takes you triple the amount of time it should.
Yeah.
And it's just like so frustrating. And you know you should be able to figure it out. Like, I remember in Photoshop one time, it was like my first time trying to replace a fridge with no glare versus a glare. And I was like, this is so easy. And I could not figure it out. And I had to step away from my computer because I thought I was going to snap it in half.
Yeah.
So it's either like I'm going to break something or cry, but I just need to walk away.
But crying honestly is like a bit of a superpower because it really does. It allows some of that built up tension to come out.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people, myself included, who didn't understand the power of that, of like an emotional release where it just builds up. I mean, I imagine that if you didn't have that ability to like just get your emotions out, you would boil over.
Yeah. So that's something I do want to talk about is like through that all and through really hard phases in life and through this new transition and through like I went through a really hard April. It was just like there's some personal stuff going on that was really hard. What I had to do was make sure that my foundation was set. Mm-hmm. And that for me is an outlet, like exercise. So in April, when I was going through something really hard, I went to spin every single day and I burned myself to the ground on that bike.
Yep.
Because I had to have that, get it out.
Yeah.
And that's the same with crying. So like when you are figuring something out and when you are going through something really challenging, if you have that foundation, you will make it through.
Yeah.
And you will eventually figure it out. And that's where I'm having to learn to balance is just to keep my like powerhouse list of even sugar. So if I, like you and I are both really into health and all kinds of like trying all kinds of weird stuff. But like if I do not process sugar very well, including alcohol. So when I'm going through something really stressful, really, or I'm like work is intense or something personal is going on, I cannot have sugar.
Yeah.
I can't drink. It's better if I don't.
Yeah.
Because then I am in a stable place where I can carry the load and handle it more.
Well, you put on guardrails, right? To be able to keep yourself on track because you know that if that guardrail's not there, like if I have some sugar, then it's just going to make everything else harder.
It does. Right? And it makes my decision making harder. And so for me, like I need to get good sleep. I need to go to spin. I need to lower my sugar intake. And then I can like handle the complexities of trying something new or being a new mom or going something through really hard personally. Like if I create that foundation, it's great. And then two, if like life's good and you're not going through anything and you aren't like work's kind of coasting, I would even encourage you to find some, like find another brick to put on your foundation, like explore a new way to work out, explore a new hobby. Like, so when life does come, you've got an even stronger foundation because when during that like slow time, you found a new outlet.
Here's what comes up for me when you say that too. Like I do believe all of those things are good. And like when I reflect back, I mean, I used to work out 2 hours a day, like 6 days a week. And my favorite thing was to get to the point where I felt like I was going to die at the end of a workout. Like there's nothing, there was no better feeling than that. And it was because that was a like a primal release of emotion. Like you get to the point with working out where like you could cry, but instead you just like you push yourself to the point where you fall down. And that was my release. So I would get up every single day and I would do that every single day. I don't work out to that intensity anymore. And I think that the reason that I think that there's a risk to your body, but what you're also doing is you're ignoring the fact that mentally and emotionally there's something that you don't understand about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, and again, I can only speak for me, but like once I started to, and we talked about this on other podcasts about like overwhelm, but once I started to let go of the idea that I had control over everything and that if I made the right decisions and I worked hard enough that everything would work out and I would be happy and at peace, I think that sort of coming to the mental point that I have where I've released some of that pressure, I feel like you're like, yeah, I can operate at 100 miles an hour if I do this, 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 this.
I know. I've got so much growth to do. And I'm not where you are. Like with letting go, I'm not there. Like I do have still like.
But that's a lot about just exposure too, because you're the type of personality, right? Like your dad said, get into accounting. So you did, right? And like you get into things, you follow your passion and then you figure it out. But along the way, like there has to be a little bit of, and you look into, so I'm so curious because you look into all of these things like Virgo and like the astronomical signs and personality styles and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn stuff about yourself, like how much introspection is there? How much do you push back against that? Or like, do you take a lot of that in and then change behaviors because of it? Or do you just like sort of digest and file the information?
I don't know. I am always like, if I'm like a, like if you set the bar here, then I will reach that no matter what. So I do know I know things about me and I can verbalize it. I know my emotional pattern. I know my inputs matter. So I've learned all of that, but I still am on this journey like of letting go is the control piece for me.
What do you imagine will happen, though?
So, for instance, I had to go back home because I forgot something today.
Yeah.
And it made me want to, at the same moment, break something and cry. But what I had to resist both and just say it's okay. It's okay if I waste 40 minutes going back to the house to grab, get there in 20 minutes and come back in 20 minutes. It's all fine.
Yep.
It is all fine.
Right.
And that is so hard for me. It's going to take just like a ton of personal work.
Yeah, I think a lot of what it boils down to is noticing in that moment, like you did, where it's like, yeah, I could get myself all spun up and worked up, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. There's going to be 25 people that watch this podcast, if we're lucky, right? and that's okay. And yeah. You also recognize that if you showed up and you were like, Ben, you got to hold the mic, I'd be like, all right, let's roll. Like, and you were like, can you duct tape the stand?
I am so not that like casual of a person. Like, it would be fine. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. If you hold the mic, whatever, and like laugh about it, that is not me. And I look at those people, I'm like, how are you like that? So it's just like a ton of like, I have so much more growth. I've done so much more growth. I've like stuck through things. And I want, my goal with this next phase is to not give up, to not, because I feel like part of me, I could have figured it out. I could have figured it out 10 years ago. Maybe I wasn't supposed, I don't think I was supposed to, or 6 years ago.
I think you say that to yourself, but I don't know that you believe it.
I don't know either. And that's part of like my journey. But my goal with this is to like do so much self work and create the guardrails and stick to them and have so much self realization that like I can be a mom and a wife and also have this own thing for myself, but it's going to be hard. Like, it's just going to be, it's just me. It's going to be me managing myself.
Yeah. I hear that. And I've been there in that moment. And, I do think that there's something to be said for striving for something and sticking things out and doing all of that. I also think that there's something to be said for letting go. Too. Like, it took a lot of courage to let go years ago when you just shut shit down. And maybe it was born out of frustration or overwhelm or whatever it might be. But you made the decision, you could have kept going. You could have picked it up 2 months later. You could have done all of those things, but you made the decision at the time. And whether you realize it in the moment, but this is what I was going to get back to with just like you as a person, that the more that you can notice in the moment that things are going on, what you are actually deciding to do, and just accepting that that is a conscious decision, not one made out of based on your personality. Mm-hmm. So your personality just drives you to the point where you make decisions all the time, but you're not consciously thinking about these decisions. Mm-hmm. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Should I go skiing because I don't want, well, I'm going to go skiing because that's what I do. I go skiing and I don't want to miss out. And this is, a lot of what has helped me is pulling back and going, all right, I'm not going to judge myself whether I want to go skiing or I don't want to go skiing, or if I want to complete this task or not complete this task. I'm not going to judge the decision I make, whether it's good or bad, but I'm just going to be really, really conscious that that's the decision I'm making. And these are the things that are evaluating it. So if you think about the, like,
you're right. Like, I bucket everything in good or bad. Everything.
It's not.
I bucket everything in good or bad. Black and white.
Right. Which means you constantly...
pass or fail.
You constantly and perpetually are testing yourself whether you're constantly making the right decisions. And then you hold yourself accountable for those decisions. And then when you do make a decision...
And I punish myself.
Guess your decisions.
Yeah. And I will punish myself too.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mentally.
Yeah.
Right. Not like the whipping like, the thing over the back.
I mean, I do like the extra spin or something. Like, right. You deserve this.
Yeah. Like, man, I was, but that's me. That goes back to the point is that you, so like if you notice in the moment that you're in the pros and cons and you make a decision and then you don't beat yourself up about the decision.
I'm really hard. Yeah.
But at
that
first,
would be my growth.
At first, all it is noticing, simply noticing in the moment that something is happening, what you're deciding to do and not doing it based on...
Because it was on my list.
Because it was on your list or because it's a habitual thing that you do, or because you feel like your personality would just do that, or You know, so like people do that about like drinking, or people do that about like whatever it is. Like, all right, no judgment, but just recognize what you're doing in the moment that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And you can feel what it feels like. And if it feels afterward like, hey, listen, that wasn't like, that didn't feel right during it. Now you're noticing in the moment that you're feeling that way, what made that decision good or bad. But people just go through life most times, and I'm not saying this is you specifically, but people go through lives and they just, they're constantly just like doing things because you do things. Well, I drink on Friday nights because I drink on Friday nights, or like I watch the making football the game. I make the bed.
I make the bed every morning. Right? So I've got to make the bed every morning. I've been, you know what I've been letting go of because I'm now working? Making the beds. Mm-hmm. Guess who comes over to my house? Nobody.
Right.
Nobody. Mm-hmm.
But I've been like, okay,
I'm not going to make the beds today, Lauren. You're not going to do it. And you're going to be okay.
I love how you say beds. Like you go in and you make the girls' beds and everything else.
Everybody's.
Yeah.
Every morning.
Right. And then you're taking away the opportunity for your kids to learn what it's like.
I mean, that's a whole nother podcast like mine.
But this is the thing. So like even in that example, so right, like you're going to notice in the moment that you could do one of two different outcomes, and then you could see the results of those outcomes. Now, it might be for you that you get to the point where anytime that you walk into your bedroom and the bed is not made, that it just like that doesn't feel right.
It doesn't.
I make the bed. If we do, our bed is made maybe 50% of the time. Out of the 50% of the time, 49% of that, 49 out of the 50% is me. Because I prefer to walk into a room where there's not laundry on the floor and there's not, like, the bed is made. It doesn't affect, like, Colleen doesn't even notice. Like, she won't notice a difference. Yeah.
I've realized, too, like, when people walk into a messy home, they're actually kind of more relaxed. They have more fun. Mm-hmm. And then I'm creating this perfect home that nobody kind of wants to be in.
Right.
And so, yeah, like those are the things that I'm really doing a lot of self-work, because I want to be able to have this career and like explore this and be able to do something between 9 and 3 for me and not for Paul or the girls. Of course, they're part of my why. And they're part of my pillars, but like this is mine.
So yeah, and also understand, so like in the dynamic that we have, like where you're helping me with media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both our
we
listings.
We should talk about that.
Yeah, and then let's get into that. But understand too that like that we're not curing cancer with any of this shit. And so if stuff doesn't get done.
That's harsh for me. I've cried all my life when I was an accountant and I got like an entry wrong.
Yeah.
I remember one night I came home. Paul and I weren't even engaged. I must have been 24. And I was devastated. Devastated. I had made a big mistake at work.
Yeah.
And Paul said, Lauren, you're an accountant. You're not saving lives.
Right.
I was like, but I was so wrong. And I had done such a bad job. And I cried so hard. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that was the best thing to happen to you in that moment.
Yeah, because
you making that mistake also sort of made you question and second guess things, and it made you be more have more attention to detail and like
make the mistake again.
Right. So that's my point, and that's where even like, so hopefully some of this will rub off on you, where like none of this stuff really at the end of the day matters.
You're so great, and I don't believe you yet.
Yeah, it'll take time. That's the beauty of sort of like, I always think about that with relationships, any sort of relationship having this sort of symbiotic balance of like craziness and not crazy. And like certainly there are certain personality styles that are like oil and water, and I don't know that will, like there are certain people at certain points in their lives that just aren't good for one another.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's like a balance where I think that you've like with you and Paul is like wants to be out there and so social and so willing to, and he's also willing to like sort of make a mistake and seem stupid in the moment, or
absolutely.
Like he just like, this is what I'm thinking, what do you think? And for the two of us historically, It's like, well, how is this going to come across if I say it like this?
Right? Yeah. Well, there's a right answer and a wrong answer. to us. To me and you, there is.
There is.
And to him, it's all good.
This is just a stream of conscious about what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like a verbalization of it. But I think that has helped you, because even when you look at, you know, you've done photography for us, you know, as far as like headshots and stuff, but like you're very good at directing and sort of just saying uncomfortable things. And I think that that's part of Paul's really good at saying uncomfortable things, primarily because he doesn't think that they're uncomfortable. It's just a thought that he had that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Which, like, I've always been really attracted to people like that because I'm not like that personally.
Mm-hmm.
So Colleen is like that. Colleen will say exactly what she thinks. Like, I think she's got less social appetite than Paul does, like drastically less.
Yeah.
But she's very vocal about how she feels. Right. And she'll just tell you, she doesn't understand like sort of like sugarcoating. She's like, well, just tell them how they feel and they can interpret it the way that they want to. And then they can ask questions if they feel. So like that was always like, oh, my God.
But you and I are like, what are they wanting me to say?
Yeah.
And I'll package it that way.
Yep.
That's a reason I'm good at content, because I can wonder what the person wants to see and then package what I have into a way they want to see it.
Right.
And that's kind of what we do online, is we think about the viewer a lot.
Yeah.
So like, it's not all bad.
No.
It's just, I want to, and like for anybody like starting out or doing something new or like trying to keep up in their career. Yeah. It's all hard. It's like, especially if you're a lot of successful people, like it's harder on like.
I think people have a.
There's a lot of crying.
Well, I think that there's a disassociation between the value of hard work, like, and doing hard things, right? So Joe Rogan talks a lot about like getting into the sauna or getting into the cold plunge every day at like whatever he does it at, like 40 degrees, where it's moving like a river or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he goes, there's something about like overcoming the, like, I never want to do it. I never get to that thing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm so excited about jumping in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's a constant test of his will to be able to like get into this cold plunge every day. And he says, it's an opportunity for me to just push back against it about like doing hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people drastically underestimate, like, the most value that I feel, the most like sort of sense of satisfaction is when I accomplish hard things.
Yeah.
And most people finally figure it out. Think about people running a marathon, right? Like, people do that because they want to push themselves and they feel so good when they do it. Mm-hmm. Spartan races. Like, mm-hmm. you look at all of these physical activities.
Blood, sweat, and tears. And then they want more. Mm-hmm. So, like, I do think that, and that's something I've had to really be aware of, is like, this feels very hard. This is taking me way longer than it should. I'm crying. I'm frustrated. I want to quit so bad, but you just like keep going. Allow it to take you longer than it should. Laugh about it. Make fun of yourself for it. I'm learning to do that more.
Well, I also think it helps, like, in those situations, whether or not the hard work aligns with sort of what you want out of life or what you want to learn out of the moment.
Yeah.
So like, all of this hard work that you're putting in and all of the stuff that you're doing and the discomfort that you're feeling is all like moving you in a direction that you want to go.
So that's something else I wanted to say, is like this podcast.
Yeah.
I felt that pull with real estate photography and I couldn't stop figuring it out. And I felt that way about this. I was like, I don't know where this is headed, but I know it's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And like over Thanksgiving break, I'm like looking up what equipment we need. What's the best way to record, best microphones, ordering, and
yeah, I was doing the same thing.
So I felt that pull, and to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
when life gives you that pull, I think it means something, and I think that's why
is this the most enjoyable thing that we're doing together, is the podcast? Because tell everybody like what you're doing for me and the company.
So I plan all of your content, and I capture it, and I work with an editor and like a social media strategist to put that up. But like, we're recording this isn't going to go out for 10 days. But you've got to do backwards math. And so I'm constantly, and I want you to have a balance. So I do all your of like entertaining, guiding, personal, all that matters of content that you put out. But we're also doing long form content, putting long form videos out. So I was like, obviously we need a podcast, but I had no idea that this was what I was going to be doing. And then I do your photos and like videography for your listings too. So all your media. And you came to me. I was good. Like I had figured out real estate photography. I had done a year of crying, a year of learning, a year of being uncomfortable, a year of doing everything for the first time. And I was like, huh. And then you were like, hey, can we have coffee? Mm-hmm. And I was like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you were like, yes. Yeah, so whatever hours you're willing to work, I want all of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what?
Is that the way I said it? I think I probably said it like
you
that.
You said it like that.
It's like, I don't want you to give anyone else any time. I would like all of it.
I would like all of your availability. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay.
But I was very intentional to say your work time, because I also understand who you are. And I understand that if you come in without the expectation that you're going to be working 40 or 50 or 60 hours, that doesn't align. That I don't want that Lauren. Like, I barely want the Lauren that's coming at me right now. But I will tolerate it until I can like beat that obsessive compulsive nature out of you. But like,
you're going to coach me.
But in December, I mentioned this to you. I was like, you're running too fast right now.
Yeah.
You need to pump the fucking brakes.
No, and I appreciate that so much. You also told me like, and I told you too, when I accepted the position, I was like, the hardest thing is going to be for me to manage myself. Mm-hmm. I am historically bad at it.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen again. So I'm really like, really trying to be mindful of it. And I think it's something we all struggle with.
But this is the right environment to figure that out. And so what I was getting back to earlier when I got off topic, but like if you're pushing and doing hard work and you're doing it and it's going in alignment with sort of what you believe is the way that you want to go, mm-hmm. I think it becomes that much more compelling. But I think what the other part of it is that if you're doing it with people that you genuinely enjoy spending time with and you're having a good time, like, yes, I am stressed out a lot. I, you know, work and life and home and my health and myself and my own development. There's a lot of things going
on. Yeah, we all have a lot on our plates.
But I am finally in alignment, knowing for sure that this at this point in my life, and I don't know what will be down the road, but I know that right now in my life, this is the direction that I want to be heading.
Yeah.
And so it makes the hard work easier. And like having you and Sandy and Kristen and Ashley and Pedro and by extension, like Aaron Novello and Jose and like all of those guys, like everybody that I'm rolling with, all of a sudden you look around and you're like, I'm just surrounded by really, really good people.
Yeah.
And that really helps.
To say, I don't know, like I'm going to take the next step and I don't know if there's going to be a stone there. And I don't know if I'm going to take the next step and the path is going to lead me to a dead end. And I'm going to have to turn around. But I'm just going to keep like putting myself out there. And I know it's going to be fine because I'm at least taking the step.
Yep.
And not standing like stagnant and wasting away. In November, we started this and I looked at Paul. I was like, I just went through a year of learning and growth. And now I'm signing up for another one because I have no idea how to do like content planning and strategy and podcast and, you know, garage band and recording. I knew this was like where I wanted to work. Like I love the office. I love the people. And even my mom was like, I could see you there. So I know even if like I take a hard left in 5 years and it shoots me out somewhere else, like this was all part of it. Just like everything else that has happened to me is all part of it. And I am like, when I sit back and think, I can see it all the way you see it all, as it's just like, it's just life and it's all fine. But in the day to day, it's harder.
Yeah. Do you obsess about how things are going to line up in the future? Like this is going to be the next step. This is going to be the next thing. Like, and the reason I guess maybe I'm not articulating that correctly, but when you were talking about sort of our partnership and us coming together, we had the idea. And I'm gonna give Sandy credit for like the thought, but I think it might have been me, so I'm going to take like partial credit. But we were sitting around and talking about you and talking about what we needed, you know, for the organization and what things I was qualified for and she was qualified for and what, like, and it just kept coming back to the idea that, like, if Lauren partnered with us and was willing to just give us more of her time, she seems to be, and you know what it was? It was whatever event we did where afterward we did an in-person event and whatever afterward, it was like, I was sitting around and Sandy was there and me and you and Pedro. And I think Kristen was there, and Pedro was giving an idea about how we could do something differently, which I always loved about Pedro because he's relatively new to the organization.
But he's fresh
and he had some ideas, yeah. But he's willing to like give those ideas. He's not keeping them like, oh, I don't want to feel stupid and that sort of thing. But you also gave, like, you were like, yeah, we've got to do this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, I just need somebody to solve this problem of media. And I don't want to figure out media. I don't have any desire to do it. I don't, like, I can't give my energy to that, nor would I want to. And I was like, but Lauren is right here. She's an amazing person. She gets along with everybody and she could solve this problem. And I was like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. Let's just go do that. And so I just texted you and I was like, let's grab coffee. And then we sat down, we had a 3-hour conversation. And I feel like that's every time we get together. That's why this is such a natural thing. There's very few people that I can sit down with and just feel very comfortable to have a conversation. And you're one of those people.
Even though I'm crazy.
Yeah, but I sort of like, I enjoy that you're crazy because then I can be naturally who I am. If I'm sitting across somebody who's like talking like I talk, like very slow and not animated and that sort of thing, it's like a dull sort of existence, right?
Yeah.
You can be you and you sort of pull me up and I pull a little bit of the crazy out of you. And it's sort of like, it ends up being a good dynamic.
Yeah.
And yeah. I feel like what's interesting about the two of us is that on any topic, there's no, I don't think at all, and I'm not sure if this is true of you with me, but like, I don't ever think about the way that things are coming across to you. Like, I never think, oh, is she going to think like I should say it this way? Or,
oh yeah.
Like I feel like there's an amount of respect between the two of us that like we could say something that, I don't know, like, I don't want to use the word like hurt their feelings, but you could say something that like impacted them without it coming across as like intentionally.
There's less
doing
of a
it.
Dance. Yeah. Like sometimes when you talk to people and you want to give some information, you have to kind of like dance around it or navigate a lot of stuff. And like, we're so direct. So yeah, it's very easy in that regard too.
Plus, I think the future of the podcast, you know, we were talking to Ari the other day about, you know, when I'm sitting down with a person, like, does it make sense to have Lauren there or not Lauren there? You know, I feel like we should get through, you know, seeing what it's like on both sides of it. But at the same point, like, part of the value in having a different personality is to have somebody that thinks a little bit different. Right. Be able to interject and ask questions and provide perspective and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what direction, but again, like, where does this go? Like, what do we, you know, hopefully it's a place where we can sort of provide some entertainment, but give a little bit of value.
Yeah.
Direct people in the right way.
I think just to be relatable. Like, if you are an agent or entrepreneur or mom or dad, we are just talking about like the normal stuff that we're all dealing with. And I wanted to cry this morning already, but I'm still like showing up and everybody is still showing up. And I think that's where people are right now. And we're all feeling overwhelmed. We all have these moments of like, I'm not doing anything right or well, and just to like acknowledge that and say like, me too.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm kind of trying out to navigate that. And I've booked, like, this has helped me, so maybe it'll help you, or maybe just to hear someone else say, like, this is hard.
Yeah, I think what would be interesting is that I think people sort of see us from the outside, and especially the old version of Ben, like 12 to 24 months ago. I think people have this perception where they see this external person or the image that I've created, right? And they see the image and they assume that not only, you know, we have money, I have the house, I have wife, kids, like, I'm in
shape. He figured it out.
I figured it out. And I think that being able to show people the difference between the perception and the reality. The fact that when people thought I was at the top of the world, like I was probably the most miserable person I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I think same thing with you, because you have this perfectionist streak. Like you look at like your house is immaculate, like your Christmas house is like fucking stunning, right? Like all of those things are just so beautiful that I think that people have this perception that like, I must need to get to that point. It's like the Instagram reality versus...
It's what I'm working towards, but then I get there and I'm like, well, now what? Mm-hmm. So yeah, to explore like that actually not being the end goal and figuring it out, there's a lot.
But that being okay too.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that's probably something that I've been able to incorporate into my life more than you have at this point.
You're a couple years ahead of me.
Is being okay with it. Like, okay, that didn't work. All right, we're going to drop that. We're going to go in this direction. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, and
I'm still struggling with that. If it didn't work, then it was a fail. I bucket everything into pass or fail, good or bad, black and white.
You would never. So what's so interesting is that if you were evaluating your child do the same thing, you would never take that.
No, I do not push it off on anyone else. It is all on me.
Yeah.
It's all directed back to me. It's like, I'm just constantly keeping a score with myself against myself.
Yeah.
And it makes me really successful. Mm-hmm. And it makes me have a great Instagrammable house and like fun content. But yeah, below the surface, I mean, it's intense. And a lot of times too, I will share really relaxing, calm. Look at how
That's
calm.
So funny when you do that. Too.
I am, just because it's what I'm seeking. Mm-hmm. And it's what I want, because I'm not wired that way. So I put myself there. Mm-hmm. And I create these calm, slow, I'm chill environments to try and like
Do you know what I think has really helped me over the years is
not visualize it.
Yeah, and maybe the last 12 to 18 months, but like this whole example, this whole environment where you're sharing everything on social media. Mm-hmm. I think that it's sort of required me to like sort of articulate how I feel about things. So you say like, I'm gonna like create this relaxing environment and photograph it or video it and then put it out to the world because that's what I want.
That's what I'm seeking.
Right. But I think what you're almost saying it without saying it. And I think it's a bit valuable for you to say it. Like if you flip the camera around when your hair wasn't done and you were just miserable and you were like, I'm seeking a calm environment. And watch this. I'm like right in front of the camera. So I'm seeking, not seeing. So if you go out there and you're saying, all right, I'm seeking a calm and peaceful environment, but you have the camera up and you're like, I'm just not feeling that way right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all of these steps to put myself in that situation in the hopes that the situation will help me like move better towards that.
Yes. That's what I do.
It's not that, it's the recognition of that. It's your mind at that moment forcing your body to put yourself in there because your mind won't relax enough to calm down. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like your body is requiring what your mind is not allowing you to see. And so if your mind says, all right, well, I'm going to create that environment, you know, just to show off that environment because that's the way that I want. That's almost your body's like forcing you to go and do it.
Oh, absolutely. Like I show myself going on all these like calm out, like spending so much time outside. And it is the time that I feel the most calm. Mm-hmm. And my body is like, get me outside.
Yep.
So I can relax.
Colleen says that to me all the time when I'm wound up. She'll be like, you just need to go outside, get away from us.
Yeah. And a lot of my content is outside, which 90% of my day I'm inside.
Right.
But I just am like, I'm curating what I want. So I think it's a, who knows what that means. I don't know.
But that's the wild thing. And I think that that's the beauty of sort of social media and attention these days is that we can start to have these under what other setting do we end up having this conversation? And, you know, again, it might be in front of, at this point in our lives, 25 people on Instagram, but, you know, two people on Instagram see it and then they go and they watch the YouTube video of us sitting here talking about nothing. And then
I know. And then I'm like having serious regret of this whole conversation.
Right. But again, like, this is the way that I look at that. Okay. Well, we got on here and we wanted to introduce Lauren. So we just had an hour and a half conversation about absolutely nothing. But like, under what other circumstance?
How crazy she is.
Right. But under what other circumstance would we sit down for an hour and a half and have this conversation?
Yeah. And people want to hear that too. They don't want to hear like, oh, she was a photographer and a stay-at-home mom and now she makes reels.
Well, you see that content online where it's like, we did a business spotlight and they're like, well, how many years have you been in business? Yeah. And it's like, nobody, there's a reason why reality television does really well.
Yeah.
It's because people just,
this is our reality television.
They actually want to just see how other people live. Oh, that bitch be crazy, right?
She cries all the time.
I'm
not married to her.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't marry her. There's going to be like exes that go, dodge that fucking boy.
Yeah. Yep. She's still the same.
Yeah. She's still crazy. What did you call yourself the other day?
No.
Yeah, come on. All right. We'll get into that
later.
Scary
Lauren.
Scary Lauren. I can see that. Like, fun of the party until it's not. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is our reality TV. This is what people want to see.
But this is also and
you'll see this on a reel that is carefully curated and timed strategically.
Right.
Which is actually what I do for work.
You're right. And this is the beauty of attention and social media, is that people get to just, I imagine living like 100 years ago was more like this, because when you got together with people, you actually had like deeper and more meaningful conversations. And then I think with the craziness of the world over time, what has happened is you have much more surface conversations interact with people.
And we have, so random tangent, and then we do have to wrap. But you and I are really into sauna and cold plunges.
Yep.
And the whole bathhouse idea, the whole bathhouse culture in every other civilization, every other country has a like routine of these bathhouses of saunaing and cold plunging together. Men would do it, and like it's like part of religion. It's like been a part of culture, except for in America, because we are so good at like having on fronts and having our like, what's the word? Armor on. Yeah. Our armor on. We have our face done. We have our clothing that we picked out. We have our drinks that we have. That's part of our armor. And what some people have said is like a bathhouse strips all that away. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any makeup on. You're sweating. You don't have your clothes on, which is part of your armor. You're not drinking. But you actually have real connections with people in bathhouses. And if you've ever sauned with someone, you can talk about a lot of stuff, and it's because it's stripped down and you have real connection with people, and it's relevant in every other culture except America. And I think there is a movement for it, for this real connection.
Yeah.
Because in America, we've created these, especially in the last 20 years, these like there's a connection, but there's still, we have our armor on. It's not person.
Right. Well, we've curated this sort of avatar of what we believe people want to see. And what's striking is how few people,
and the way actually, we want people to see us, which
the perception of what we believe they want to see and all this kind of stuff. So we curate this sort of character, right? That now we're just playing the character, and then we create beliefs based on what the character should believe, and then we make decisions based on the beliefs that the character has created.
That you created. And then all of a sudden, you're out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And you created this person that you think other people want to see.
Yep.
And it's not who you are at all, and you're miserable.
Right. And nobody, what's really striking, and social media is the best example of this, is that like when you actually look at it, nobody online is paying attention to what I'm paying attention to when I put out content. Like in very few circumstances. Like as far as like what my physical appearance is like and what like the lighting of everything, like you could be obsessive over the way that you look in person, and be like, oh well, that belt doesn't really match, and then you could go across 100 people and no one would notice your belt. Now let's say 3 people notice your belt. Those 3 people arguably are more insecure than you are.
Yeah.
because the insecure people will look at what other people are doing in order to figure out what they should do. So they're taking in all of that information.
Yeah.
And so
you
again,
pick apart in other people actually what you're picking apart in yourself.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so this environment, this ability to have a conversation, this is sort of going back to what we used to do, which is just take a moment where both of our phones are on do not disturb. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, mm-hmm. and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find somebody that you can easily have a conversation and talk about topics, then hopefully it's something that people enjoy listening to.
Yeah. I like, and this is great. It was really, I have no idea what we're going to clip out of this for real, but it's, but yeah, it's where I'm at. And like, that was part of my journey.
We can go back into it again.
Yeah, we'll have round two.
Right.
The more we should do an update. Like, as I'm on this path, I'm on this new path, this new job, and my kids are a certain age, and you are on this new path, and we're just like we're figuring it out, and we do check-ins, like how's it going?
Yeah.
Did you figure? Have you had more 0 days?
Do you want more 0 days?
I know. I think I do. Yeah. I do know that about myself.
You need zero moments.
I do need to be able to like fill up because I will burn out. And then if I burn out, everyone else around me will be scorched.
Right.
To the ground.
But I think just again, to have it on camera because this is coming up for me, is that it doesn't need to be like a day or like 10 hours or whatever. It might on occasion,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's also like I get up. There's a reason I get up at like 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning, because I am up for an hour and a half. And even on weekends, like I might get an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. Now, I didn't when I had young kids, which was tough, but like I would have some time by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason I work out in the morning, and then I do a sauna, and then I go outside and I put my feet on the ground, because that to me is zero. Like, if I'm working out,
well, that's stabilizing your foundation. Those are on my list too.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, like, and then getting outside for a hike or whatever. But like, I think people imagine that they need this like definitive, always this break of this amount of time on the mm-hmm. weekend. I need this. It's just incorporating like the things that like fill you up
mm-hmm.
into your schedule and mm-hmm. making sure that you're doing those things, and then you're saying no to things that take away the time that you're not going to get the value out of it.
Yeah, because you can schedule like, okay, I'm going to have a whole day to rot, or to like, that's what they call it online now. It's like a rot day where mm-hmm. you just like do nothing.
You don't have the ability to do nothing.
No, and sometimes I'll get like 4 hours, and I'm like, okay, well, I think my cup's full, and I'm ready to go now, but I've slotted 10. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, you don't need that much.
And you're better to do like 3 or 4 hours and then go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But then recognize in the moment that I'm going to give myself 3 or 4 hours, and it may or may not be enough, and it might be too much or it might be not enough,
mm-hmm.
but I'm
mm-hmm.
going to give myself 3 or 4 hours, and that's going to be great. And then I'm going to go and enjoy this. It's amazing how much of this life is just about mindset and the way that you think about it.
So much.
And
it annoys me so much when Paul says that.
Yeah.
When he's like, Lauren, it's just perspective. It's just your mindset. I'm like, he's like, you know, like, this is just life, Lauren. This is just life. I'm like, I can't handle it. He's like,
we're gonna have to have Paul on the podcast at some point.
I mean, yeah. So you were asking, like, when would we have this conversation? And it would be like on a double date,
yeah.
You know, and then like Colleen and Paul making fun of you and me.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting dynamic, the two of them versus the two of us. All right. Well, we gotta
wrap it up. Yeah, yeah, we gotta go back to work.
Yep.
That was me. This is me. This is where I am right now. That was kind of like my little short version of history, not so short.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited to have you with us, and for whatever period of time. And I say this a lot, but you know, we're in this moment of time where, like, we're sitting around in this office in downtown Mansfield, you know, and we won't ever be in this sort of exact situation again, but I'm just enjoying the time that we do have, and the craziness of trying to figure all this stuff out, and watching you grow and watching you find what your passions are and support me to help me do the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, is that it's a really sort of enjoyable, crazy time And I think we're going to look back at this point in life and be like, you know, the craziness, the shit that was so stressed out, that was good.
It was the good stuff.
It was really, really good time. So I'm excited about it. So we'll see where this goes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Peace.